Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? You are listening to Knockout Radio Show. I'm your host, Anthony Harden Sr., and as always, I am broadcasting live from Sacramento, California on this Thursday night, January the 20th. As always, I have a great show for you tonight. I have a lot to talk about, so let's not waste any more time. It is 9 o'clock straight up, and it's time to get this show started. I just want to break it down to you guys. Maybe you are new to the show and you're not familiar with the overall show format. Here's how it works. We're here to talk fights. We talk those fights where they happen in the ring or the cage, whether it's MMA or it's boxing. We're also talking sports as well. NFL, NBA, MLB. I am a sports nerd. I am a fight fan. I'm a fight nerd. So I'm here to cover all the bases and just talk and rap and kind of rant here and there. Some of the things I want to talk about tonight. The Carmelo Anthony trade talks have been called off. Melo is no longer in talks with the New Jersey Nets. He was never really in talks with the Nets, but Mikhail Prokhorov is actually saying, hey, you know what, I'm done wasting my time talking to Carmelo Anthony, trying to persuade him to come play for the Nets. Got a few takes on that. I want to get into it in a little bit. Why you're from Brooklyn and you wouldn't want to go back home. That's where the Nets are going to eventually be playing. I'm not really sure what's going on with that, but I do want to touch on that. Also, the Oakland Raiders have hired offensive coordinator Hugh Jackson as their head coach. So they actually went within the organization and locked up Hugh Jackson. Got a few thoughts on the hire. I also have a few thoughts on the overall 100-plus minute press conference held by Mr. Al Davis and Hugh Jackson. Later on the show, I will be previewing the UFC Fight Night 23, Fight for the Troops 2, January 22nd. That is this weekend. I want to get into the kind of preview the main event, the main card. So I want to get into that in a little bit. I also want to touch on the NFL Divisional Playoffs. The division championships are this weekend. We got the winners of the New York Jets and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the winner of the Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears, they will be representing their conferences and playing in the Super Bowl. So I got some previews, a little bit of breakdown of those individual games I do want to get into. Plus, I had a chance to interview Daniel Goldberg. Okay, this kid is, and I say kid, I use that word loosely, this is a man. He's a high school student. He's the founder of Golden Gear MMA. If you haven't heard of it, I hope you will burn that name into your memory, and you will start shopping there. You want to go to goldengearmma.com. But I think his story is incredible, and I also think it's one that everyone should hear. Again, Daniel Goldberg is a high school student, and he is owning, operating, and running his own MMA training gear, boxing training gear company, Muay Thai shorts, shin guards, tie pads, gloves, MMA gloves, rings, cages, you name it. Daniel Goldberg and Golden Gear, they can get it for you. This kid is sick. I've had this interview. I've been waiting to play this interview. I've had it for a while. I've been wanting to finish the show website, knockoutradioshow.com, which is finished. It's up and running. I wanted to wait till I was on iTunes. I want to get Daniel's story to as many sets of ears as possible. One, it's a great story, and two, I like the dude, and I want to support him as much as I can. So I want to give some love to Daniel Goldberg. It's about a 34-minute interview. I'm going to be doing an hour-and-a-half show tonight, so we'll be going from 9 until 10:30. So I do want to I have to get in this interview. I don't have to. I want to. I want to get Daniel Goldberg's story out there. All that, of course, I will get you up to speed on the latest scores and caught up on all the news from the sports, MMA, and boxing worlds. But before I get started, I want to thank all of the usual suspects. That's all. That's you know who you are. The list is way too long for me to name them all, but there is that crew of usual suspects that have been with me every week for the past year and change. And I got to love them for it. Those are the usual suspects. They've been when I don't have a show, I'm getting emails, hey, when are you going to be on next? So from Alabama to South Kakalaki, that's South Carolina, some of you guys, to Australia, to Toronto, you guys know who you are, and I want to give you a big, big thank you and let you know that I do appreciate everything you guys send me and your questions and all that. So there you go. I've set the table for you. If you want to touch on any of those topics, maybe you have something else on your mind, start dialing now. The number is to be heard, 347-857-1959. Again, 347-857-1959. Okay, so check it out. I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get into this Daniel Goldberg interview. You'll be blown away that this kid, and I use that just so loosely, that this kid is doing what he's doing at the level that he is doing it. It's just, it's amazing. It's amazing. He's a success story. And one day, very, very soon, Daniel Goldberg is going to be owning and running a multi-million dollar corporation. And it may just be starting here with Golden Gear MMA. So, without further ado, I want to get to the Daniel Goldberg Golden Gear MMA interview. Okay, joining me right now is Danny Goldberg, owner, president, founder, CEO of Golden Gear with the best fight through it. Danny, thank you for joining me on Vincent Radio tonight.
Hi, no problem.
Okay, I got to ask right off the bat, what is help me and the listeners and fight fans out there kind of get us caught up to speed. I know you're doing your own thing right now. What is Golden Gear?
Golden Gear is, I started the company this year. I'm only 16 years old. We sell kickboxing gear, MMA gear, boxing gear, Muay Thai shorts. We're bringing in apparel soon for T-shirts, sweatshirts, long-sleeve shirts. And I sell all my gear. It's all handmade in Thailand. And I sell all my gear online to gyms and even some stores.
So, all right, let me get this straight. Let me just back up for a minute. You are 16 years old, and you've already started your own fight training company for training gear.
Yes.
I mean, my man, when I was 16 years old, I was playing football, hanging out with my friends, going to the lake. Had been doing a little boxing here and there, but I hadn't, gotten my shit together enough to start my own company. So, I mean, so you are rolling right now. You are a straight-up entrepreneur, and everything's going good?
Yeah, definitely. Everything's going real nice. It's starting to kick off, actually. I started having photo shoots with some professional boxers. I plan to have photo shoots and sponsorships with many UFC fighters as well.
So how did you – I'm amazed by this. How do you get started from – obviously, you train, right? I mean, you're a fighter, right?
Yes, I had one Muay Thai fight. It was an exhibition fight.
So now are you still pursuing the fight game? Do you aspire to fight some more? I mean, how do you get started in Muay Thai?
In 2006, I started kickboxing. I used to just work out, and one of my trainers, Val Stoyanov, in the gym, he told me, I think you should try this out. I think you might be good at it. I think you may like it. So I tried it out, and I instantly fell in love with it. And since then, I just wanted to do more and more. I started sparring, training more. I actually traveled to Thailand, and that was a great experience. I worked out there at a great gym over there, and that's basically how I got involved with the sport, and I just fell in love with it since then.
So how do you go from – I mean, this is – a pretty amazing story. How do you go from 16-year-old, you're training, okay, you're kind of getting into Muay Thai, how do you go from that to starting Golden Gear, a MMA boxing and Muay Thai training supply company?
I actually worked at the gym. I worked at my gym, Cannon Kickboxing, which is where I trained. And I actually worked there last year. And school school just meant so much to me, and I wanted to dedicate a lot of my time to that, so I had to stop working at the gym so I could dedicate more time to school, schoolwork.
Yeah.
So, but I wanted to stay connected with the business, and I was just trying to think of an idea of how I could stay connected, and I wanted to really do something with the sport and stay connected as well as I could. And I actually met this girl, and she lives in New York as well. She had many Muay Thai fights, and we talked online, and she's a very good fighter. She of fights, undefeated, and when I spoke to her, I told her, well, I think I'm starting a company. This is before my company started, obviously, and I told her, I think I'm starting my own company. I'm going to have great gloves, all handmade in Thailand, and it's going to be cheaper than other top companies. And she said, well, I would love to buy it, but I don't have money. So immediately, it came to me that, like, right at that moment, I wanted to have a company that would still be a great company, still have great gear, great gloves, shin pads, head gear, everything that would protect you and that would support you and that would make sure that you're not getting injured, because the gear that she was using really wasn't safe for her to spar in, especially right before a fight. That would be the worst thing, to get injured right before a fight after training for several months. So basically that hit me.
So from just meeting this girl, I mean, You straight up started your own company. I mean, you got sparring gloves, training gloves, you know, cardio kickboxing gloves, Muay Thai pads, MMA gloves. I mean, this is almost too much to comprehend. How do you get this going? I mean, I love the fact that you're in this for the fighters. That you're making it inexpensive for the fighters, because that's who's going to use your product and take themselves with your product to the next level. How do you go about with just the logistics of starting this company?
Well, I have a connection in Thailand, and I communicate with people in Thailand, and all my gear is handmade there. And I don't want to just be another company that's out there that's selling a decent product. I want to sell an excellent product that I know that people really people can afford, because if you look at many other companies, Grant, Clito Reyes, they're all going to, you can end up spending, even Everlast, you can end up spending $200 on a glove, and I know that even for top fighters that are up and coming, that's still a lot of money to drop on a pair of gloves, even headgear. So.
No, and I get that, because I think what a lot of people don't realize is a lot of these cats, these men and these women coming up, you know, amateur fighters, and even those that become professional, you don't make a lot of money. There's not a whole lot of Chuck Liddells and Rainer Couture's out there. You got a lot of dudes that struggle, and you're exactly right. Buying gear, that shit adds up.
Yeah.
I've collected my gear for training, you know, over a long period of time, and it adds up, man. I mean, so you got this connection in Thailand, okay, and you're making your gear, it's handmade. Besides the price, I mean, what sets you apart from other companies? I mean, I get the four fighters. You're kind of like that four fighters by fighters thing, but what sets you apart?
I think that a lot. I mean, my gear is all, it's great gear, handmade, like you said. It's all made of leather, top leather, but I really try to communicate with everyone who's wearing my gear, all the gyms that buy from me, the stores, and all the fighters that wear my gear. I want them to basically have the mindset that I have, which is the best fight through it.
Yeah. Now that leads me to my next question: how did you come up with the name Golden Gear and the logo? And the motto, you know, the best fight through. I mean, take me through the process. You know, I'm a young entrepreneur. How do you figure out logos? And okay, I'm gonna call this Golden Gear, and the motto is the best fight through it. How do you come up with all this?
Well, gear was simple, because it's all about the boxing gear, the gear. Both, all fighters are always fighting for the gold. They always want to achieve the best. They want to reach their best, and the best is always the gold.
Yeah.
Then with the logo, it was tough choosing a logo, because there's so many possibilities that you can choose, but I really wanted something that represented my motto, which is the best fight through it. And I wanted something that represented power, strength, survival, patience, and courage. And I did some research, and I found that the phoenix, the bird, represents all that. And I instantly knew that that would be the logo, because this represented everything that Golden Gear is about.
The best fight through it.
That came. Well, I was thinking of a motto, and this is the best fight through it is what I believe in everything that I do. Every time I fight, I repeat this motto to myself. Every time I study for schoolwork, every time I want to make a business deal, I repeat this motto to myself. And as like a new business that's up and coming, there's many other top companies out there that I have to compete with. And if I want to one day be a top company, I have to fight through everything that I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to fight through all these other companies that are also selling a great product. To survive and succeed, I have to fight through all of this. And also, growing up, I was speech delayed. And I always was very persistent. I always wanted to achieve better in everything I did. I always wanted to be the best as I could be. And no matter what, I would always achieve my goals in the end. And I would do this by setting smaller goals, and once I achieved those smaller goals, I would build up to greater and larger goals. And the best way through it, this was basically my mindset my whole life. And when I was trying to think of a motto, I was like, the best fight through it, that's it. This has to be it, because that's how I've been living my life. I wasn't saying the best fight through it until I started Golden Gear, but that has to be it, because it was just a no-brainer.
Joining me right now is Danny Goldberg, the president, CEO, founder of Golden Gear Fight Training Equipment. The story is... It almost sounds too good to be true. The thing that trips me out is, I mean, brother, you know, you could have just started like shorts and T-shirts, right? People would have bought your gear. I mean, you went well beyond, you know, what you had to do, and you are making, producing, and selling training equipment: Muay Thai pads, belly pads, headgear, sparring gloves, bag gloves. I mean, that is amazing. Why stop where you're at? What else do you have in store for Golden Gear? What else can we expect, you know, in the future from Golden Gear?
Well, I definitely want to continue selling my gloves, my headgear, my shorts. I'm looking to do more designs for my shorts. I'm looking to do T-shirts in the future, sweatshirts, sweatpants, all training gear. Wraps. I'm trying to get everything in, and also I really want to. I'm starting to promote events too. In a couple of months, I'm starting an event with the boxer Dimitri Salida. He's 30-1. He's a great fighter. And I'm starting a seminar with him. And basically, Golden Gear is promoting the whole event, and he's gonna teach people how to box, teach people footwork, jab, cross, all the boxing techniques, and then. Once I have a little bit better connection with a UFC fighter, I look to do a seminar with him and promote a seminar with a UFC fighter, and we're going to do MMA seminars, and I want to start promoting these events so people out here in New York can learn more about MMA and boxing, and I just want to help spread the sport and spread the motto and everything that the sport has to offer, not just the fighting, but also the mindset that the sport gives to people.
Now, one of the questions that I guess I have for you is, I mean, you seem to be doing this. You know, you're doing this on your own right now. You have everything set up with the boxer. If and when, I guess it's only really a matter of time that MMA is sanctioned in New York. I mean, that could only just help not only you. But the sport of MMA just explode, right? I mean, do you look at it as being pivotal that MMA is sanctioned in New York? Or, I mean, hearing your story and kind of doing some research, I think you're going to do just fine no matter what, but it's only going to help, right?
Yeah, definitely. It will only help. But, I mean, not just for my company.
I think it will help so many people because there are so many fans out here who don't get to see MMA, and everyone's going to see Muay Thai fights, boxing fights, and there are so many MMA fans. And also, I think MMA, it's not just about fighting, which is a lot of people think. It really has a bigger message than fighting. It's about courage, strength, fighting through it. And that's really why I think MMA is such a great sport, because it's just not about going in there and trying to kill your opponent. It's about going in there and showing respect and going to the ring and fighting and being from any challenge.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, I think MMA has a bad rap, and you know, especially in the show, I use this show as a platform, and you know, I give my opinion. That's what I do. I give my opinion on boxing. You know, I give my opinion on MMA. Working for Vincent Magazine, I cover everything from boxing to Muay Thai to MMA. I mean, I know out here in California, you know, we have, you can spend $25, get a ticket, and go see boxing, Muay Thai, and MMA all in the same car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. You know what I mean? That's fan friendly because you're getting the best of all the worlds right there. So, I mean, you have boxing, you know, kind of sewed up, I guess to say. Who are you sponsoring in Muay Thai? Are there any fighters that we would know of or can look forward to seeing kind of sporting some golden gear?
Well, currently in Muay Thai, I'm sponsoring this one guy, Val Stoyanov, and he's 2-0 right now. He won his last. He had two good last fights, and he's fighting in a tournament in Virginia in June. And if he wins that, he's gonna have a championship for the Eastern region, I believe. And that's exciting. You can go on my website. You'll see Dimitri Salida, the boxer. He's 30-1 up there. And I'm looking to get more boxers, a world champion also, a world champion boxer I'm looking to get. And I'm also looking to get a bunch of UFC fighters, and currently I'm talking with a lot of UFC managers so I can work that out. And also, I really want to help the sport get sanctioned here. I really want to, if the promoting goes well, I really want to help promote an expo for MMA in New York.
No, I think it's a great idea. I mean, you know, I'm not a 16-year-old, you know, with my own fight gear company. You know, I mean, you seem to have your shit straight. So whatever you say, man, I'm gonna go ahead and back you. You know, what I mean, everything you've been doing so far is working out pretty well. But I guess one of my questions is, are you just only looking to sign and sponsor a UFC fighter? Are you just focused on the UFC? I mean, there's WEC out there. I know there's Bellator Fighting Championships. They do a lot of fights on the East Coast. I know Strikeforce is not really, you know, when I think East Coast, I think from, you know, Maine down to Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? I know there's the Eastern Seaboard, but I think of, you know, the Southeast, you know, from Virginia on down. So I know Strikeforce hasn't really, you know, got into, like, you know, the East Coast yet, but are you just focused on the UFC, or, I mean, is any professional MMA organization have you been talking to?
No, I've been speaking to other organizations, the WEC as well. I'm looking to speak to other organizations, but it takes time and everything. But really, what I really hope to do, I'm unable to do it this year. Because I'm only 16, I can't travel around. But
yeah,
I really
yeah.
want to find fighters, basically almost go on a tour, and I want to find fighters, all amateur fighters. And I want to find fighters and who don't have a lot, and I want to back them. I want to give them all the gear they need, shin pads, headgear, gloves, MMA gloves, shorts. They name it, they can have it. But I want those fighters not to just be a fighter who's going to go into the ring and just to kill his opponent. I'm looking to find fighters who are going to fight through it, who are going to be courageous, brave, and show respect while they're in the ring. But I want those fighters to really live by my mindset, which is the best fight through it. And those are the fighters who I'm looking to sponsor, the fighters who might get hit with a heavy punch in the second round, let's say, And he looks like he might be going out, but I want him to still know that he can still overcome anything and he can overcome any challenge and achieve his goal and eventually become a world champion.
I think that's kind of a cool way of looking at it. You know, I mean, it seems like nowadays a lot of companies are looking for the most boisterous, you know, craziest fighters that can wear their gear, say some crazy shit, and bring as much attention to themselves, because obviously when the attention's on you, people are looking at what you're wearing. So I think kind of the way you want to bring attention to yourself and your company and the sport is kind of a refreshing and kind of unique kind of approach to that. And I mean, I can appreciate that. I can totally appreciate that. Now, let me ask you. Here, go ahead.
Oh, I want only positive images for the sport, because honestly, I don't believe one thing that people say. If people say this sport's for crazy people, if people say this sport is just low-class people, it's not. It's really so much more than that. But I personally don't respect fighters who are going to step in the ring and look in there just to kill their opponent, show no respect, and the fighters who just give up. I'm completely against giving up, because giving up's the worst thing you can do, and not just in fighting and everything. If you give up and anything you do, you'll always be a failure. You should always want to achieve greater things. You should always want to fight through it, and that's really where my motto comes into play, because it's just going back and back. It's just that people should know that they can always achieve their goals. It's just a matter of doing it and having the right mindset, and people have to know that there's always a way, and they just need to find that way.
Well, I tell you what, you are definitely, you know, finding your own way. Again, joining me right now is Danny Goldberg, founder, president, CEO, any of the cool monikers I can add after this young man's name. He's the owner of Golden Gear. Danny, for anyone interested in getting, you know, information to you, let's say, you know, I'm an amateur fighter, okay, and
yes.
I'm looking to, you know, get hooked up, get sponsorships. How do I, the amateur fighter, or the professional fighter, or, you know, how do I get a hold of you or Golden Gear to, you know, get you hearing about me so we can talk about getting some sponsorships?
Well, you can just go to my website, www.goldengearboxing.com or www.goldengearmma.com. You can also find my websites by going to my Facebook fan page, Golden Gear MMA, or my Twitter, Golden Gear MMA. And you can either give me a call, my phone number is right on there, or you can send me an email, and I'll talk to you. And I'm not one of those companies who are just looking to accept every fighter because I'm a new company, and I think that will help. I'm looking for the fighters who are gonna live by my motto and who are going to be courageous, get in there, and fight through anything, and never give up. That's one of the most important things. I'm never looking for a fighter who's going to give up, who's just going to throw the gloves in and say, I'm done, I've been beat up enough. Because that's the worst.
Yeah.
So I'm only looking for the fighters who are going to live by my motto. And I think a lot of MMA fighters are, but there's always those MMA fighters that aren't. But if you live by that motto, you can shoot me an email, call me, and we'll talk, and we can work out a sponsorship deal.
I tell you what, man, I like what you're doing. I don't need to blow smoke. You know what I mean? I talk to a lot of people in the industry, and I'm by no means Joe Rogan or Dana White. You know what I mean? But I'm like you. I'm aspiring to be at that level. Okay, so
yeah.
I get the whole best fighting through it, because that's what I'm trying to do every single day. That's what I try to do every single day. So I agree with what you're saying. I like your approach to what you are trying to bring to the sport. I mean, it's just it's unique, and I mean, damn, brother. I mean, you're 16 years old, and you're already doing it. You know what I mean? You're already doing it. I mean, are you a lifer in this sport? I ask that to all the fighters I interview, meaning, you know, especially for the fighters, when you're done fighting, will they go on to coaching, opening gyms? I mean, you're only 16. You know, you got your whole life and the whole world in front of you. Give me. I mean, you already started your own company. So, I mean, people can call you a dreamer, but I call that bullshit to them, because you're already making stuff happen. Give me the 5 years. What's Danny doing 5 years from now today?
Well, I definitely want to stay with Golden Gear. Golden Gear, I really want to do this for the rest of my life, and I want to help the sport of MMA grow because it is an up-and-coming sport in its own, and I want to help that sport grow and have that positive image. And I really want to, like I said earlier, I can't, because I'm only 16, I can't go on tour right now. I have school. I can't go on tour just searching for fighters. But in a couple of years, I want to go search for fighters in different gyms, search for the fighters who are going to fight through everything and who are never going to give up. Search for those fighters. I want to sponsor them. And even if they have nothing, I want to basically give them what they need to train and to live a nice life. And I want to give them all that so they can eventually achieve their dreams. Because a lot of these guys' dreams are to become the best and to become the world champion. I really believe if you have a dream and you set your mind to it, it's completely possible. And I want to help them to make sure that they can achieve their dream, because the worst thing is maybe you can't afford gear. Maybe you can't afford to go to the gym. But that's what I want to help do. I want to make sure that all these fighters who have that dream will achieve it by giving them the gear they need. And also the support. I'll back them no matter what happens, as long as they never give up and they live by my motto, I will back them.
Now, you know, when can we expect, okay, I gotta phrase this, pose this question to you right. Okay, out of 10 people, okay, out of those 10 people, you take 10 people, put them in a room. Yeah, out of those 10 people, 6 of them watch fights. Okay, they're fight fans.
Okay.
Maybe of those 6, 2 might actually train. So, you know, what I'm getting at is you have these other people that just like the idea of fights, and they like to wear stuff that looks cool. So marketing not just to fighters, but to fight fans and just to people in general, when can we expect, you know, some shirts, some long sleeves, some tees, sweaters? When's that, the apparel side of Golden Gear going to launch?
We'll have 2 T-shirts that are coming out probably around midsummer or maybe August. And after, I'm going to, towards the winter of next year, I'm going to have sweatshirts, sweatpants, long sleeve shirts. I'm going to have some more T-shirts. I'm going to get it all. It's just a matter of time, but definitely before this time next year.
Nice, nice. Well, I'll tell you what, man, again, joining me right now is Danny Goldberg, founder, CEO of Golden Gear, training equipment, the best fight through it. For those of you that might just be checking into this interview a little late, my man here is 16 years old. I want everyone listening to this interview to think back, to think about what they were doing when they were 16 years old. I'll tell you what, I was not thinking of starting or even coming close to starting or even, I don't think I was even working yet at 16 years old. I was just playing sports. I was just focused on sports, not even working. So, I mean, my man, Danny, you are doing some very, very cool, very, very big things, and I wish you nothing but success. You know, I will do my best that I can out here in California to spread the word, you know what I mean, and get you as much business as I can. And, you know, if I come across some fighters that I think that might live up to your motto, you know, I will definitely let you know, because I usually I'm a pretty negative person, but I got a positive vibe for you, man, and I'm going to do my best to make sure that you succeed, because already, man, you succeeded. In my eyes, you succeeded, but I want to see you really see this through to the end. I really wish you nothing but luck, man. I appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. It was great.
Yeah, so, you know, Golden Gear, the best fight through. If you guys, hey, if you're a fighter out there, maybe you know a fighter, you want to get some gear, Muay Thai pads, belly pads, headgear, fight shorts, MMA gloves, sparring gloves, fight gloves, go to Danny's website. It's Golden Gear, www.goldengearboxing.com or www.goldengearmma.com. You can check out Danny on Facebook too. I know you got I believe you got a Twitter page up too, correct? It's
Yes. What
is it? Is it just Golden Gear MMA at Twitter?
Yes. Yes, Golden Gear MMA.
Nice. Well, Danny, I want to thank you very, very much for coming on the show, man. And I, you know, my old lady's always raving about you. You know what I mean? She calls you the golden boy. You know what I mean? So I can see now why she speaks so positively of you. But keep up the good work, man, and I'll be checking in with you. And, you know, I wish you nothing but good luck, man.
Thanks a lot. You too.
All right, man. Take it easy, Danny.
All right. You too. Have a great day. Bye.
Are you there? Oh, Dan, you have to hang up. There you go. Daniel Goldberg, Golden Gear MMA. That, just hearing that interview again, not to jock myself, but it gets me fired up. I mean, think about what you would do when you were 16. I know Danny's about 17. The ripe old age of 17, but I mean that is pretty impressive. I tip my hat to him. I think what he's doing is great, and he's still going. He's still going. If you don't believe me, you know, go to goldengearmma.com. I mean, he's got pictures of Ryan Bader training in his new gym. Him and CB Dalloway and Aaron Simpson's gym down there. Bader's got some of his Muay Thai shin guards on. So, you know, just whatever he's doing it right, and he just—it's a good story. So, tackling on that, I want to let you guys know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Golden Gear, handmade gear at the right price. Golden Gear carries all the best in MMA, boxing, kickboxing, and Muay Thai gear. Golden Gear carries boxing gloves, MMA gloves, sparring head gear, shin pads, protective training gear, and Muay Thai shorts, all at individual prices. On special request, Golden Gear even sells MMA cages and boxing rings. Everything's handmade in Thailand and of top-grade leather. Register today and receive great deals at www.goldengearmma.com. So for the best fight gear, training equipment, and apparel, go to goldengearmma.com. It will be the best gear you will ever use. Golden Gear, the best fight through it. It's just crazy. Think about it just for a second. I'll get into the rest of the show, but just think about it for a second, what you were doing when you were 16, 17 years old. I can pretty much guarantee you were not considering or even running your own company. You weren't doing it. You just were not doing it. It's just amazing. So all props go to Daniel Goldberg at Golden Gear MMA. Do a little show reset. You are listening to Knockout Radio Show. I'm your host, Anthony Harden Sr. If you know what you want to talk about, start dialing now. The number is 347-857-1959. Again, 347-857-1959. Call up. Let me know what you're thinking. Maybe you have a different opinion. The online chat is up and running, but beware, it is shark-infested water, so enter at your own risk. The show site is operational. We're up. Go to knockoutradioshow.com for all the latest MMA, boxing, and sports news. Check out my latest articles. You can also weigh in on the poll question. If you want, you can drop me an email at aharden, H-A-R-D-I-N, aharden, at knockoutradioshow.com. Let me know what's in your mind. You can also listen to the show on iTunes. You can listen to the show wherever and whenever you want. Just type in Anthony Harden Sr. or Knockout Radio Show, and the most recent show will come up. You can also go back and listen to past shows, possibly a particular interview you liked. Maybe you want to hear the Daniel Goldberg interview again, the Uriah Faber, Eddie Alvarez, Gil Melendez, Ryan the Beast Baker, CEO of Bellator, Bjorn Rebney, My man, Phil Money Landis, Greg Valentine of Pacific Northwest Fight Magazine. Tons of interviews you guys can go back and check out. Knockout Radio Show is on YouTube as well. Just type in youtube.com/ Knockout Radio Show. You can check me out on Facebook. Just type in Anthony Harden or Knockout Radio Show, hosted by Anthony Harden Sr. Definitely friend me, like the show page. Of course, you can also find me on bleacherreport.com. Just search Anthony Harden Sr., and you can check out some of my latest articles. I actually just threw one down regarding the recent signing of Oakland Raiders new head coach Hugh Jackson. That kind of leads me to a segue. I don't know if a lot of you guys saw the press conference. You probably heard about it. You know, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time getting into what Al Davis looked like. You know, for those that saw the press conference, that goes without saying. To me, I'm not going to believe the point of what it looked like. To me, it's more important to talk about what Al Davis said at this press conference when he was introducing offensive coordinator Hugh Jackson as the 17th and newest head coach of the Oakland Raiders. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I was in the impression that I was going to be tuning in to a press conference, again, talking about Hugh Jackson being the new Raider head coach. And that was the case. For a little bit, I'd say maybe 20 minutes of, you know, I'm just guessing. I'll say 25 minutes of the 100-plus minute press conference. And Mr. Davis, or Coach Davis, as Hugh Jackson affectionately referred to him as, really made the whole press conference about not only the greatness of the Raiders, the history of the Raiders, but also he really got deep into Tom Cable, and it became a Tom Cable press conference, and why they got rid of Jamarcus Russell. And, you know, I'll say this, Al Davis is extremely sharp in his knowledge of the X's and O's of football. Even at 82, I still think he knows a lot more than a lot of people, a lot of critics and pundits really give him credit for. But I wanted to hear more about Hugh Jackson. I didn't want to hear about Willie Brown or Jack Tatum and the old Raiders. This is not the old Raiders anymore. This is an 8-8 squad that really had a fight to make 8-8. The squad that went 6-0 in the wet ever. AFC West Conference, but still did not make the playoffs because they couldn't win enough games out of conference. I don't really care why you got rid of Tom Cable. I do, but in my opinion, you could have held another press conference. And you know what? I see both sides of it. I get it. It's so rare that you have the opportunity to talk as a journalist, to talk to Al Davis. You have 1,000 questions you want to fire off at him at all times. So it wasn't just Al Davis that was at fault. It was also the media. But that, again, it was Hugh Jackson's day. His story of where he started and where he's come from. You know, one of the things I really want to drive home to you Raider fans is that Hugh Jackson is as of right now, the man the Raiders need. Sources are saying the Raiders are close to signing Al Saunders as the offensive coordinator. But Hugh Jackson is not one of these football coaches that bounce between the NFL and college. When Hugh Jackson left the college ranks, he actually was a coach in college for a few years, went to the NFL Europe, coach of running backs, the London Monarchs, went back to college for a couple more seasons, and as soon as Hugh Jackson landed in the NFL, he stayed in the NFL. A lot of NFL coaches take on coordinator jobs or position jobs in NFL for a few years, you know, maybe the coach they work under get fired, and they go back to college. That wasn't the case and has not been the case for Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson is an NFL guy. And I just think a lot more could have been made of that rather than taking up all this time talking about Tom Cable and him flying in girlfriends to away games and why exactly. And yes, those were questions. I wanted to know why Al Davis was actually fining Tom Cable. Why Tom Cable was filing a lawsuit. I mean, this is just a thing to do. This is just what former unemployed Raider coaches do. They fire Al Davis. Sorry, excuse me. They sue Al Davis. And I get both sides of it. Hey, you know, Al Davis is no pushover, and he's going to run that team how he wants to run that team. And that's fine. It's his team. He can do that. But let me ask you this, Raider fan. How has Al Davis done in the past 10 years? How's that team really done? Granted, there were a couple good years in there, but since 2002, this team has not done anything. It's been really bad for the Oakland Raiders. So I don't want to hear Al's still in charge and he knows what he's doing. At times, I didn't pick that up during the press conference. The man is 82 years old, and yes, I understand that he wants to win more than anything else. And would I want to see Al Davis go out a winner? If you catch where I'm going with this, yes, I'd love to see him see his team win a championship, and he could quietly just, that's the only thing keeping Al Davis alive anymore, just that fire of the Raiders burning in his belly, keeping him alive, just wanting to see his franchise, his team win again. I thought they were on their way there with Tom Cable. There was nothing fancy or flashy about Tom Cable. Players just want to play for him. And you want that in a head coach. But I liked that swagger, that bravado, that cockiness that Hugh Jackson came with to the press conference. You know, he's a quote-unquote player's coach. That's a good thing, I think. We'll see how he does now. It's a lot different calling plays and relaying those plays to the head coach. No, now instead of just wearing one hat, you are now wearing all the hats. And that's where a lot of offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, a lot of coordinators really start to feel that pressure. Eric Mangini being one of them. Perfect example. Wearing all the hats. So to Mr. Davis, I respect you. I think what you've done for the game of football has been extraordinary. But you got to give the man his due. You got to give Hugh Jackson his due. You know what? Call a second press conference. And for God's sakes, change those Band-Aids on your forehead. I don't want to see Al Davis like that. I've been watching Al Davis since I was a young lad. I remember the slick back, you know, the black hair, the jumpsuits. It is odd seeing an old and very frail-looking Al Davis. And I'm not trying to be funny right now, but it looked at one point like he'd had a stroke. The right side of his face seemed a lot more alert. His eye wasn't drooping. The left side of his face, he looked like he'd had a stroke. And you can tell I'm not joking. I'm not trying to make a joke out of that. It's not funny. But it's just something that I noticed. It is something that I noticed. And that's too bad. It really is. It really is too bad. But I got to say, Al does what he does. Al Davis does what he does. And what he has done is he has hired current offensive coordinator Hugh Jackson as the 17th head coach of the Oakland Raiders. And we'll see. All I got to say to you is hopefully you can get over 8 wins. You get this team in the playoffs, you've got yourself another year. If the Raiders fail to reach the playoffs again, don't think that Al Davis will not pull the trigger. Don't think he will not pull the trigger. And that was Al Saunders as the offensive coordinator. That's one of Al's guys. Al Saunders is an Al Davis guy. Don't think Big Al Davis will not pull that trigger and get rid of Hugh Jackson if everything just goes south completely. So there you go. That's all I had to say about that. I had to get that off my chest. That's just something that's been kind of eating away at me. You are listening to Knockout Radio Show. I'm your host, Anthony Harden Sr. If you know what you want to talk about, start dialing now. The number is 347-857-1959. Again, 347-857-1959. Phone lines are open. The online chat is up and running. Check out the show website, knockoutradioshow.com, for all the latest MMA, boxing, sports news, my latest articles, got the poll question up. Drive me an email at aharden@knockoutradioshow.com. You can check out the show on iTunes. Just type in Anthony Harden. Type in Knockout Radio Show. Later show will come up. You'll see all the archive shows. Scroll through. Pick what you want. Check me out on Facebook. Type in Anthony Harden. Type in for pages. Type in Knockout Radio Show. It'll come up. Go to YouTube as well. YouTube.com/Knockout Radio Show. Of course, you can also find me on BleacherReport.com. Search Anthony Harden Sr. Check out some of my latest articles. The latest one being about Hugh Jackson. How Al Davis stole the show. Coming up, I do want to talk, preview the UFC Fight Night 23 Fight for the Troops 2, Fort Hood, Texas, this weekend, January 22nd. I do want to get into Carmelo Anthony and the trade talks have been called off by Gail Prokhorov. Also, the NFL divisional playoffs are this weekend. You got the Steelers and the Jets coming out of the AFC, and the Packers and the Bears. Oldest rivalry in football for the NFC was the George Halas Trophy, representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. I want to get you guys' thoughts. Who's going to win this weekend? I know that's a real vanilla question, but who's going to win this weekend? Jets going to make it 2 in a row? Over the Steelers, they already got them once at home. If they have the Steelers in Pittsburgh already, they're going back to Pittsburgh now. Can the Bears get the pass rush to do that for the Packers? Aaron Rodgers, that may not be a good thing. Aaron Rodgers right now is proving that the more pressure that is brought on him, the more blitzing is done on Aaron Rodgers, he seems to only be getting better. Aaron Rodgers is just one of, if not the top quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I mean, the guy is just playing lights out. The guy is playing lights out. And like I said, the more pressure you bring on Aaron Rodgers, he excels against the big blitz. He wants you to bring it. You know, look at some of these numbers. You know, the Bears rush 4 men as much as anybody in football, 72.7%. When they do that, they allow 5.7 yards per pass attempt and a 42% success rate to the opposition. They blitz 5 men less than 16% of the time. When they do that, they give up 6.2 yards per attempt and a 48% success. So the more guys the Bears bring, the more heat the Bears bring, the better the opposition's quarterback does. And that's not good. That's my whole point. It's funny. You look at last weekend, you look at the offensive day, Jay Cutler had 2 and 2, 2 rushing, 2 throwing. You look at the career day Aaron Rodgers had. And really, for both the NFC and the AFC championship game, these games are going to be, both of them are going to be about defense. They really are. They're going to be about defense. Can that Bears defense do enough to contain Aaron Rodgers and quite possibly the best receiving core in the NFL? Did the Packers have the best receiving core? Those words just come out of my mouth? Do the Packers have the best receiving core in the NFL? Never in a million years would I have thought I would have said something like that. Greg Jennings has 12 touchdowns this season, 76 receptions. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is just, even James Jones, 50 receptions, about 680 yards, 5 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers just spreads it around. He just spreads it around. If you're a Bears fan, and I got a cousin who lives in Marino, and he is a hardcore Bears fan. Always has been. The rest of the family was all Niner, or it was all Raider fans. But Hayne was just, he was a Bears fan. And he's going to be a red ass this weekend. He's going to, I'm not going to call. I'm going to let him do his thing. I'm going to let him watch the game. I'm not even going to go there with him. I mean, you look at the team leaders, Green Bay leaders, Aaron Rodgers, 3,922 yards, 28 touchdowns. Not bad. Greg Jennings, like I said, 76 receptions, 1,265 yards, and 12 touchdowns. Well, not bad. Not bad at all. You got Brandon Jackson from University of Nebraska, the Cornhusker. Really, you look across the board, and these team leaders, you know, I'm not going to say they're dead on, but it's pretty close. Matt Forte, a little over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. I mean, it's the receiving core that really separates this. It really separates this. Johnny Knox, 51 receptions, 960 yards, 5 touchdowns. I mean, that's not even tight end numbers with the Packers. It's funny. As bad as the Bears are defensively when they are rushing a quarterback, Packers, on the flip side, they bring the heat. They bring the heat. Clay Matthews, those guys, even Charles Woodson, those guys bring the heat. And the funniest thing is if you really want to break it down, the only quarterback that has a better success rate when he's moving around is Jay Cutler. He's got a 61% success rate when he's scrambling. He averages damn near 8 yards per attempt. When Cutler ran against the Packers, okay, in their 2 regular season games, 45 yards on 5 carries, 3 first downs, one of them was a 16-yard run on 3rd and 15. So you can kind of see how this is all forming. I mean, this is going to be a defensive game. Who knows? I could be look totally stupid. This could be an offensive explosion. For all I know. And I'm just saying, you know, the defense is what got these teams here. And don't be fooled. These Chicago Bears, these are not the monsters of the Midway. Not by any stretch of the imagination is this Chicago Bears team, this defense, the monsters of the Midway. It's going to be cold. It is going to be cold. But Aaron Rodgers, Jay Cutler, both quarterbacks, They play in cold weather environments. That's that NFC North. And they're used to the cold weather. The one wild card, and he always seems to be, and that's Devin Hester, number 23 for the Chicago Bears. Chicago has the best special teams in the league this year. They ranked first. Green Bay ranked 27th. So really, this could be the difference maker in this game, and that could be Devin Hester. It really could be. Would that surprise you? No. One thing I'll give Chicago is inside its own 20-yard line, they don't give up a whole lot of passing touchdowns inside the 20. The Bears have a great red zone pass defense, but a horrible red zone run defense. So, I mean, you get it down there. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers get it down there. Don't even bother throwing it. Just run it in. Ride powers in. That's all you got to do. I like the Packers. I like the Packers coming out of the NFC. I just think, and you know Aaron Rodgers, you know, we're not talking to him, but you know he wants to silence the critics. There's still a lot of people in Lambeau Field that still rock those number four, that Brett Favre jerseys, the dangle, you know. And you know Aaron Rodgers with a Super Bowl victory, Aaron Rodgers could almost single-handedly erase the Brett Favre memory from the Cheeseheads. I mean, come on. Aaron Rodgers is the anti-Brett Favre. Accurate, calculated, does not make the mistakes that Brett Favre does, passing-wise. Can you imagine the boy from Chico up here in Northern California, Aaron Rodgers, hoisting the Lombardi Trophy? And the scary thing is he's only going to get better. He's really only going to get better. I think the Packers just have a little too much heat for Jay Cutler. Although he scrambles great, I don't see the Bears running on the Pack. I really don't. I like the Packers coming out of this game. I really, really like the Packers coming out of this game. You know, on the flip side, you have the 11-5 New York Jets and the 12-4 Pittsburgh Steelers. This should be a hell of a game. This should be a hell of a game. You're looking at their overall team leaders, Mark Sanchez, about 3,200 yards, 17 touchdowns. Big Ben Roethlisberger, 3,200 yards, 17 touchdowns. Rushing leaders, you got LaDainian Tomlinson, 914 yards, 6 touchdowns, which really isn't bad. A lot of people wrote off LT. A lot of people thought LT was done. Sean Green was the man. And LT, you know, these aren't really LT-like numbers, but for the situation he came from, really, honestly, not being wanted in San Diego, LT he's answered that call. He's answered that call. Rashard Mendenhall, 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns for the Steelers. And Braylon Edwards leads the Jets, 904 yards receiving, 53 receptions, and 7 touchdowns. And the 60-minute man, Mike Wallace, ironic, 60 receptions, 1,257 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Mike Wallace is a freak. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And a hell of a football player to go at that. One hell of a football player. I like this game. Yeah, the Jets already got Pittsburgh. The Jets already got the Steelers already at Heinz Field. Now, historically, the team that's lost the first game usually fares well in that rematch. My biggest concern is I want to see if the Jets have blown their wad, so to speak, first against the Colts and Peyton Manning, and then Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the Patriots. You know, they've had nothing but good things to say about Big Ben Roethlisberger. But can you get up? You got up so high and took it so personal to get over on the Colts and Peyton Manning. And you win that game. And the Jets get up so high again. It's so personal on all of the trash talk between the Jets and the Patriots. But from the Jets. You know, and you're wondering, can these guys get back up again? Answer that bell. I don't know. And on the flip side, the Steelers, I mean, just the way that they snatched not only victory from the hands of the Baltimore Ravens, but the Ravens' hearts, their collective hearts, from their chests, amazing. Amazing. You know, Big Ben Roethlisberger, he doesn't do it pretty. He really, really doesn't do it pretty. But the guy is just so damn effective. There's just no way of getting around that. He is so effective. And it leads me to wonder if Big Ben Roethlisberger were to beat the Jets and win and hoist a third Lombardi Trophy, where does that put Big Ben Roethlisberger in the talk of, I'm just going to say it, first ballot Hall of Famer, take away all the BS. Okay, take away the legal matters. Okay, I'm not talking legal. I am talking strictly playing football, winning championships. You got to put Ben Roethlisberger up there, right? You have got to put him up there. This is going to be a hell of a game. I'm more excited about this Jets-Steeler game than I am the Packer-Bears. You know, the Packer-Bears, they got that mystique, and I'm into that. That's cool. That is cool. But this game, I'm an AFC guy. I've always liked AFC football more than NFC. And Rex Ryan, this guy is dealing with witchcraft. He's got to be dealing with witchcraft, right? The way he gets these guys so fired up to play football. For me, the biggest wild card, though, it's not going to be Rex Ryan or his play calling. It's going to be Mark Sanchez. Now, this is their second trip to the AFC Conference Championship. And And Mark Sanchez did not look that good in last year's AFC Championship as they lost to the Indianapolis Colts. Roethlisberger and the Steelers are in their fourth AFC Championship game in his 7 years in the league. These two quarterbacks couldn't be any different. They could not be any different, right? Just the way they play the game. I'm not trying to knock Mark Sanchez, but in a situation like this, in a game like this, I want Ben Roethlisberger grabbing snaps. That's what I want. I feel a lot more comfortable with Big Ben back there. He's proved he can do it. Sanchez one minute the dude looks like he's the reincarnate of Joe freaking Namath. And the next minute, I'm scratching my head going, what was that for? What was he doing? And you Jet fans, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You have to know exactly what I'm talking about. You look at a guy like Troy Polamalu, who's somewhat healthy. You know, the defenses are going to play a big, big part of this game. They really are. You got the island, Revis Island on one side. You got Troy P on the other. You know, half of me thinks this is going to be just a shootout. And the other half tells me, you know what, this could be a 17-14 game. A hell of a 17-14 game, but a 17-14 game nonetheless. I'm not saying it's going to be that's a bad thing. For you Jets fans, I would love to hear from you Jets and Steelers fans. Even from you Pack and Bear fans. How do you see this game going down? 347-857-1959. Again, 347-857-1959. You are listening to Knockout Radio Show. I'm your host, Anthony Harden, Sr. If you know what you want to talk about, start dialing now. The online chat is up and running. You can also check out the website at knockoutradioshow.com. If you want, you can email me at aharden, H-A-R-D-I-N, at knockoutradioshow.com. Check out the website. It's up and running. All the latest articles I got. We've got news, MMA, boxing, sports. Got some photos. Got the poll up. Got the show vault. Links directly to iTunes. Check out prior interviews. Maybe you want to hear the Uriah Faber, the Gilbert Melendez, Dan Hornbuckle. Got them all. You listen to the show on iTunes. Just type in Anthony Harden or Knockout Radio Show. Better yet, just go to knockoutradioshow.com. It'll bring you right to iTunes. To my page. Check me out on Facebook, type in Anthony Harden Sr. Also type in Knockout Radio Show. It'll bring up the fan page. Friend me, like the fan page. Knockout Radio Show is also on YouTube. Just put in youtube.com/Knockout Radio Show. Of course, you can also find me on bleacherreport.com. So, I mean, if I'm forced to make predictions on this weekend's divisional championship games, I'm thinking Steelers. I gotta go Steelers in the Pack. What an old school rivalry that's gonna be in the Super Bowl. The Green Bay Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Part of me though is just saying that Rex is gonna have his boys fired up and they're going to bring it. I could be totally wrong, but I just like the Steelers. I like the way the Steelers won that game. But on the flip side, I love the way the Jets beat the Patriots too. You know, one of the things I want to talk about this weekend, this Saturday, is the UFC. Fight Night 23, Fight Troops 2, Fort Hood, Texas, the site of the terrible shooting last year. And this is, you know, I got to hand it to the UFC. They could easily kind of put up some ho-hum cards, but they bring some heat. They really bring some heat when they put on these free cards. You know, one of the things I want to see is the Cole Miller, Matt Wyman lightweight matchup. These guys are both kind of toiling right now. And I want to know where these guys stand in the lightweight division. Are either of them ready to really take that step up in competition and move up a rung? Are you going to toil in obscurity forever, or are you going to step up and really kind of shake things up a little bit? You know, he's got four defeats all by decision. Jim Miller, this is Matt Wyman, Roger Huerta. Miller's got, you know, like his brother Dan, they got an excellent submission game. He's getting better on his stand-up. I will give him that. They are getting better on their – I think they're really, really focusing on that. I like Cole Miller in this fight. I like Cole Miller in this fight. He's just kind of sneaky good. He really is. He's Cole Miller's sneaky, sneaky good. Back-to-back wins, Ross Pearson, Dan Lauzon. You know, he lost to Fran Escudero. But, you know, I don't chalk that up too much. You know, Cole Miller's got himself a nice little resume going. Takashi Inoue got a win over Leonard Garcia, Fight Night 11. I mean, his past two losses were Jeremy Little Heathen Stevens and Efrain Escudero. They're not slouches. So I just, you know, although I respect Wyman's game, I think that Cole Miller, Wyman's durability, you know, Cole Miller is going to push the pace. He's going to bring it. He's going to bring it. Wyman, he's not. The thing with Cole Miller is he finishes fights, whether it be by submission or not. You want to see a guy finish fights. And Wyman, you know, his last win against Mac Danzig at 115, you know, the guillotine choke, but before that, three fights before that were all by decision. He's got four wins by TKO, KO, four by submission, and four by decision. He's got one loss by TKO and four losses by decision. So he likes that number four for some reason. Seems to be a round, even fighter. I like Cole Miller in this fight. I just think Cole Miller, his game is just a little more. He's a little more on his game right now. I think with a win here, we might see Cole Miller take that next step up. Like I said, do you want to toil at the bottom, or what are you trying to do? You know, in the heavyweights, we got Pat Barry and Joey Beltran, and Barry, you know, look good in defeat, if that's possible, you know, if that is possible. I like Pat Barry. I think he's a funny guy. HD is a funny, funny guy. I'm going to try and get him on the show after this card. You know, he lost to Mirko. He beat Anthony Hardo. Lost Tim Haig. Haig's also on the card. You know, Pat Barry, he's a young fighter. Okay, he's a young fighter in this, and he's still kind of finding himself. But he's a hell of a guy to listen to talk. A 5-2 record, you know. 5 KOs, 2 submissions. No secret what you want to do to try and beat him. Joey Beltran, you know, the Mexicutioner, 12-4, 10 TKOs, 1 submission, 1 decision, 1 loss by submission, 3 losses by decision. Both these dudes want to bring it. I see both these dudes. I don't see this fight going more than 2 rounds. Beltran's got the loss to Matt Mitrione. 3 fight win streak before that, over Oles Gracie, Houston Alexander, Tim Haig. I don't think his resume is any better than Pat Barry's. This is gonna be a hell of a fight. This could be fight of the night. You're gonna see going out on a limb. You're gonna see knockout of the night in this fight between Joey Beltran and Pat Barry. I like Pat Barry. I don't know, but Joey Beltran could be the sleeper in this fight, but I do like Pat Barry in this fight. Mark the Machine Hominick and George Roop. This could be fight of the night. There's a couple of these fights that I keep going back and forth. I know what I just said with Beltran and Barry. That could be knockout night. This one could be pretty good. I've seen George Roop fight live. I've seen Mark Hominick fight live. Roop's a tall dude, and Hominick's not. Not that that means anything. But I think that Hominick is more technical. He's going to mix in more kicks, more punches. I like Hominick this fight. Roop is that gritty fighter. You know, George Roop, he's gritty. 11-6. You know, he's going to bring it. He's got the draw to Leonard Garcia. I saw him lose to Eddie Wineland. He's got the win with Ching Sung Jung with a head kick. Awesome, awesome head kick. But that's not what he's known for. He's more of a submission guy. He's going to get lots of decisions. Mark Hominick, he's going to bring it. He's going to – there's a reason why they call him the Machine. He's 19-8, 8 TKOs, 7 submissions. He's really, really well-rounded, very, very well-rounded. And he brings it. He is just so technical. He's on a 4-fight win streak right now. Leonard Garcia, Isha Buin, Brian Caraway, Savant Young. Last loss was to Josh Grispy. Before that, Ronnie Yaya at WC 28. And then for that, Hasu Hayoki. He's on a roll right now. And Mark Hominick knows that with a win over George Roop, he will challenge UFC featherweight champion Jose Aldo. And that's what he wants. Mark the Machine Hominick, hey, he's got a baby on the way. He wants to be able to show highlights to a little one saying, hey, not only did I beat George Roop, but I got to mix it up with Jose Aldo. I don't think it went very well for him against Jose Aldo, but it's what he wants. You know, another set of heavyweights, you know, lock him up. Matt Mitrione and Tim Haig. Tim Haig is he makes an interesting fighter. He's seen a lot of his Canadian shit, and he's not terribly exciting. Big dude. I don't see this fight, and I could, you know, it seems like every time I say something, I'm always proven wrong, but I don't see this ending in, like, a fantastic, you know, he's got 7, look at Tim Haig, 12-4, the thrashing machine, 7 TKOs, three submissions, two decisions. He's got one loss by the TKO and three losses by decision. About 6'4", 266 pounds. Got a win over Travis Few. Got a win over Zach Jensen. For that, three losses in a row. He's actually out of the UFC for a minute. He beat Pat Barry, ended up losing to Todd Duffy, Chris Tucher, and Joey Beltran. Actually, got the boot from the UFC. Now he's back in the UFC. So he's going to have that feeling of, okay, I need to prove that I belong here in the UFC. So he's going to have that fire going for him. And I respect that. I get that. I understand that. Matt Mitrione, another Rufus Sport, another Rufus Sport guy. He's the meathead. Not a lot of fights. 3-0, two TKOs, one decision, about 6-2. With a win over Joey Beltran, win over Kevin Ferguson, and then win over the former NFL star, Marcus Jones. I tried to put no stock in whatsoever. On paper, you have to give Tim Haig the nod just because he has so much more experience. And by experience, I mean he's got some fights. He's got some rounds. You know? I mean, his past two wins, granted, he ended them in the first round really quickly. I mean, just brought it to Travis Few. Took it to Zach Jensen, too. You know, he went the distance with Joey Beltran. He's gone the distance, win or lose, you know, Ruben, Warpath, Villarreal. So he's got some rounds, is what I'm trying to say. You know, I don't think this is going to be a terribly exciting fight. I could see Tim Haig catching Mitrione. I can see it. I don't think either of them are very technical. Tim Haig needs to use his size and his power and push Mitrione around. He's going to have to. He's going to have to take him down and ground and pound him out. It's going to go to decision. This fight will go to decision. You know, again, I can be proved wrong. But at least I'm out there, and I'm making a case. You know, the main event, Evan Dunham, and Bevan Gillard. This Evan Dunham is number 10 lightweight. I think on Sherdog. I'm not sure who he is on MMA Weekly. This could be a pretty good fight. This could really be a hell of a fight. You look at Evan Dunham, kind of took the UFC by storm a little bit, 11-1. You know, like it or not, he lost his last fight to Sean Sherk. Before that, I mean, he's beaten Marcus Aurelio, Fran Escudero, Tyson Griffin. No one really saw that coming. So he's made his bones in the UFC. He has made his bones in the UFC. He's a grappler. Submission guy. You know, Melvin Gillard will sit and bang it out with him. And I kind of like what Melvin Gillard's doing. I got to say, I kind of like what he's doing. He's turning around. He's down at Jackson's. He's fighting out at Jackson's. He seems to have, you know, gotten it together. And you got to respect that. So I'm going to have to go, as much as I don't want to go against Melvin Gillard, I'm going to have to take Evan Dunham in this fight. I just think that Dunham's going to take him down, and Gillard might regress back to that kind of freak-out mode and get caught in submission. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Time's running out. I'm running short. I want to thank you all very, very much for tuning in. You are listening to Knockout Radio Show. I'm your host, Anthony Hardin, Sr. I will be back next Thursday from 9 till 10. Got some surprises for you. Check me out on Facebook, let you know who's going to be coming on. I know for sure Bill Money Lanity is going to be on, probably Merritt Warren. Want to talk a little bit about how he should be fighting Ryan Couture. Knockout Radio Show. I'm your host, Anthony Harden. Keep your hands up and chin down. I'm out. Thank you.